Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Okay, first off, welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
Because I got my take on this too.
Okay. I've never done a full season of morning radio. I'm excited. I'm thrilled until I'm no longer here. Whether I get fired or I quit, which I don't think either one will happen. At least I hope not. One could. But here we go. Chiefs season has officially began from the 816. I'm so ready to see these cuts. I want to see who makes it and who don't. Really?
Like you're going to see a list of names you've never heard of before.
Now, there's three names that we can dive into tomorrow, which we will do a topic of because tomorrow.
Tomorrow's cut down day, right? Yeah. They all may get cut today, though.
Yeah. And we know the three names that we're looking at. We're looking at Sky Moore, we're looking at Kadarius Toney, and we're looking at Mecole Hardman. That's it.
Yeah.
Outside of that. The team is made. The rosters are there.
Boy, I've been thinking all weekend about these cuts, Dusty.
I have not thought about it once.
That's never crossed my mind.
The only cuts I thought about this weekend were the cut waters that we were drinking in the pool. I love cut waters. They're just dangerous.
Very dangerous, yes.
13.2%, I think, in the margarita one. Got to be careful. But that's the only cuts we were thinking about, at least in my opinion. The other text I don't understand from the 816 is quite simply this, and maybe you guys can help him out. Who is Thor? ?
He's the running back that's taken Kansas City by storm. Carson Steele is his name.
And what's he look like?
Thor.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got an alligator.
Him and Isaiah Pacheco are your 1-2 punch at running back this year. Ooh. He's the number two, guys. That guy is the number two running back. That's going to be a lot of fun. He went from a guy we didn't know to a guy who's the legit number two right now on the roster.
Will he be listed? I guess tomorrow we'll find out. Will he be listed as a fullback?
Probably. Yeah. But he's the legit number two running back.
Of course.
You know, there's really nobody else right now. Nope. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is dealing with his stuff and hope he gets through everything. And I wish Clyde nothing but the best. But I think right now, when you look at, you know, who's running back number two, Thor, Carson Steele, let's go get your 42 jerseys.
And then it looks like Steven Spector texted into the text line. Are we going to talk any KU, K-State, and Mizzou football today with the season starting this week?
And I responded and I said, probably not, because those three schools take on nobodies in their first week of the season. It's not worth it. Like, KU is a 46.5-point favorite over Lindenwood. Missouri's a 45-point favorite. I think K-State, whoever they're playing, is like a four. Like, that's not interesting.
Ridiculous.
It's not interesting at all. Like, when we get into conference season, or they play a big-time non-conference game, sure, we'll be about that. But, I mean, week one, week zero of college football, how much week zero action did you guys see? We were at stuff all day.
I watched that game.
So I missed that game.
Great finish.
How about Florida State losing? I mean, Florida State losing is already, you know, creating meltdown after meltdown after meltdown, and people are pissed and whatnot. And, like, Florida State was the team complaining last year for not making the national championship game, right? Like, they were the one complaining last year. And then you lose to Georgia Tech in your opener. I mean, come on. You got to do better than that. You got to back up the complaining that you had all of last season. But, I mean, it was like Montana State versus Nevada. Like, even Binkley wasn't really watching that one, I don't think. And he was texting me about how he doesn't let his mom drink his beer.
That's rude.
Yeah, I thought so. But he gives her like a box of wine.
Well, if that's what she likes.
Does anybody really like boxed wine?
And somebody said, are you planning on talking about them at all this week? Yeah, we'll talk to him.
We'll talk to Binkley on Wednesday. Yeah.
The day before the college football game plays. Right. So stick around. you'll enjoy it Wednesday as we'll dive into Binkley, who will have a lot of things to say about Murray State and Mizzou and Lindenwood in Kansas.
Who does K-State play? Does anybody know who K-State plays? I don't think anybody even really knows who K-State
University
plays this
weekend.
University
of Central Missouri.
Is that who it is?
No.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
I'll tell you.
Scheduling them again. But I think what fans fail to realize is that the Royals are in a pennant race right now, like a legit pennant race. They're three games back of
Tennessee
Cleveland.
Martin.
Oh, Tennessee Martin. We better get on that game. The Royals are in a legit pennant race, and we have Patrick Mahomes. So, like, I hate to say it, like, the college stuff, just unless something dramatic is going on, it really doesn't get to the top of the conversation because the Chiefs are the number one show in town, and the Royals, besides us, Dusty, and the Royals are out here doing their thing, which they haven't done in a decade, and people are captivated on what's going on with the baseball team, because today they've got a doubleheader against Cleveland, and you're three games back. You sweep this doubleheader today, you're going in tomorrow for a battle for first place against Cleveland. Like, this is a big day for the Royals, one of the biggest days that they had in a long time, and we'll talk to Vern about it coming up in about an hour from now. But, I mean, this doubleheader today is as big as anything we've seen with the Royals in probably a good 8-9 years.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. Something we got a little bit of surprise of before we get into the Royals conversation was, Not everyone who does this sort of profession, which is play-by-play, can nail home run calls or touchdown catches. How about this one?
High drive, deep right field, Merrill Madness! Walked off at Petco! Padres win it 3-2!
This is a great call, right?
I mean, you should have known it was gone by the sound of the bat.
Drive, deep right field, Merrill Madness, walked off at Petco, Padres win it.
He might as well just.
I mean, that was just epic. Don Orsillo, the Red Sox fired him. The Padres scooped him up years ago. If you have a chance to watch the Padres broadcast, one of the more entertaining broadcasts in baseball, that's just great audio. Like, you don't have to be a Padre fan or a Met hater or anything like that. Like, that's just great audio all the way around. That's how a home run call needs to sound, man. That's big time. I mean, could you imagine hitting a walk-off home run? How cool would that be?
Would you rather hit a walk-off home run, a game-winning three, or catch the game-winning touchdown? Give me the home run.
Yeah, I was going to say probably the home run.
Let me flip that bat.
Yeah, flip that bat, run around the bases, showboat, dance, do the whole thing. The whole crowd's cheering for you. Yeah, I think it is the home run. I do. I really think it is, because it's all about you in that situation. It's you versus the pitcher. Mm-hmm. Touchdown pass, you got to have the quarterback throw you the ball.
Yeah.
Basketball, you have to have somebody get you the ball, get you open. And home run, that's mano y mano, man. Like, let's go. Like, I don't know. That's just, it's just every time you see a walk-off, regardless of what kind of game it is, people lose their minds.
It's amazing.
It's just so good. And to hear that call, gosh.
High drive, deep right field, Merrill walked off at Petco! Padres win it 3-2!
So good.
You mentioned today the Royals in Cleveland will start a four-game series with a doubleheader today, 12-10-5-40. Cole Reagans will start game one. Alec Marsh will start game two.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Cleveland, good starter in the first one. Right, Sandlin, he's pitching in the first game, 7-0 with a 3.89 ERA. Sounds like a good time for a first loss on the season.
Yeah, like beat that guy in.
And
right?
Then your second game, you go up against an Allen guy, 8-4 with a 5.56 ERA.
What'd you say, Will Smith?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's got a 6.98 ERA.
6.98.
Or whatever it may be. I stopped counting after 5.50. But again, you know, you mentioned this, you know, big series. You're three games behind Cleveland. You're three games behind Baltimore for the top wild card spot. You're tied with Minnesota, and you're five games out of the top spot of the division of the American League of the best record for that first round bye. But if you get a second round, if you're the second best team, you also get a bye.
Right.
Which is nice to see. This is where there are key moments in two different games, right? And I think I'll take what I'm looking for And then we can get into the Royals topic about in or out or whatever you want to talk about on that sort of thing on 913-586-7965. Cole Reagans is the blood stopper, right? Friday night, you beat Philadelphia. Everything's nice. Everyone's hyped up. Saturday, Sunday, depleted. 11-2, 11-3.
Yeah, get your
right?
teeth kicked
Outscored 22-5 in the final two games. Not great. Now you get to play Cleveland, and we had asked, or I had asked on Twitter or X, out of the next 20 games, 17 now, is 10-10 okay? And almost unanimously, everybody's like, yeah, we'd still be 500 throughout this series. Or through
Who
this,
are the 10 wins against?
That was the next question. It's okay. Are the wins against division teams?
Because if you beat Cleveland and Minnesota,
right,
I'm good with that. But like if you lose to Cleveland and Minnesota and you beat, like, who else is on the schedule? Like, well, Houston's important. Yankees. I mean, it's still a tough schedule, right?
Houston, Yankees are on that schedule.
Is Pittsburgh part of that 20?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, if you get your sweep against Pittsburgh or something like that, and you don't do great against Cleveland and Minnesota, you know, I'd rather have you win those games against Cleveland and Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't know if Pittsburgh is part of that. I mean, I have the schedule.
Either way.
Yeah, but the next 20 games, most crucial of your season, right? Uh-huh. And Minnesota did you some favors. They lost, you know, a couple games throughout. But in your next 20 games, 3 versus Philly, those are done.
Right.
4 at Cleveland, 4 at Houston, 3 home versus Cleveland, 3 home versus Minnesota, then 3 at the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. 17, hell of a run.
17 games left. So let's say hypothetically you go 500 in this series against Cleveland. That'd be 2-2.
Right.
So then you'd have 3 wins out of the first 7.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then you go play Houston, you win 2 out of 4 of the, you go 500 against Cleveland or Houston. That's now 5 wins. Then you play Cleveland again at home. You'd like to see 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
That's 7. Then you play Minnesota for 3 here. You'd like to take 2 out of 3. That's 9. Get 1 win against the Yankees. There's your 10 and
there's
10
your
record.
10. Yeah, you
so
probably would sign
up
for that.
So it's not that big of a farce.
Now.
I would put me in line right now, push the button, whatever it is. I'll take that.
You'll take 10 and 10 right now.
Yes.
You'll sign up for
you'd
that right now.
You'd still be 15 games above 500. You would all but lock yourself in for a playoff position no matter what. Because at this point, some people are like, yes, they are a playoff team. Maybe there still are a few that say no. But you take Cole Reagans to stop the 2-game skid and you start the Cleveland series. You bring Alec Marshup, who's been in the minor leagues, who's gotten a little bit more confidence, and we can see where he wants to be on this roster when it comes to the playoff. Because there's two different things for the Alec Marsh story. How's he done to kind of recoup and like figure out his game? Also, do you want to be a part of this playoff run? Because if you do, you have to go out there today and absolutely shove against Cleveland. And then if you win the first 2 games, house money.
House
the next
money,
two.
Yeah. Like,
and
no,
Cleveland's
I think
not been playing well.
No, they have not. You know, they had an opportunity to play Texas over the weekend, so they got a little healthier. But they're a team that's been down lately. Like I told you, I watched them last week, and that's why I said I guarantee you the Royals are going to win this division because Cleveland just is not playing inspired baseball right now, right? But you have to go out there and still take care of business. And I still think the Royals are going to win this division. I just think they're playing better baseball overall and playing more inspired baseball overall, even though those last 2 games happened, than Cleveland. I'm still very much in on the Royals doing their thing. And that's kind of where, you know, we want to lead our callers today because the boss wants us, as you said, Dusty, to take the calls. Mm. If you were in on the Royals on Friday and you're waking up out today on the Royals, what's changed over the weekend for you to go in on this team to now out on this team? Because to me, I don't think anything changed about this team over the weekend. We know the bullpen isn't any good. We saw that. Starters, for the most part, kept you in games, even though Lugo kind of wavered a little bit and Singer wasn't the best, but we're kind of keeping that in the back of our minds, not wanting to say that out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, Bobby's been doing his thing. Other guys in the lineup have kind of stepped up and produced when need be. Like, I didn't see anything about the Royals this weekend that I look at and go, boy, the Phillies totally exposed this with the Kansas City Royals. I believe in the Royals on Friday. I still very much believe in the Royals on Monday, even after losing 2 out of 3 to Philadelphia, because there was nothing different about this Royals team over the weekend that we didn't already know going into that series against Philly.
Yeah, I would say the one thing that was eye-opening to me that I heard on Vern's postgame show was that he basically simplistically laid it out of this team isn't good enough to take advantage of mistakes they've made themselves.
Yeah.
So self-inflicted wounds are the other thing that will also kill this Royals team in the playoffs, because everything obviously has to be polished, it has to be perfect. And when they make errors and it gives up runs, it seems like they don't really retaliate. Now,
they can score when they want to. And I thought the two things that were interesting this weekend was the self-inflicted wounds that hurt you eventually towards the end of the game. And, you know, Massey had a rough time at second base this weekend and, you know, whatnot. Bobby did make a couple plays, but I'm never going to shame Bobby's game whatsoever.
Oh, God, no.
Like, there's just nothing that would merit that whatsoever. The other thing that's interesting, too, is that, you know, the offense just can't go cold.
Right.
Like, the pitching's great, but, like, you just heard all the teams we listed. Cleveland's got a good offense. Yankees, clearly.
I mean, you and I were talking about Judge in the break. What Aaron Judge is doing this year, again, as much as we don't talk about what George Karlaftis did, I know he's a Yankee, and people do talk about him. I still don't think enough people are talking about what Aaron Judge is doing right now. This guy is just absolutely on fire.
Yeah, I mean, the MVP thing, it was fun to talk about for a long time.
Well, you had told me he's hitting hotter. He's got a better
since June 1st
than Bobby Witt. You said he's hitting 363 since June 1st.
Something crazy like that. And Bobby's hitting like 340 or 350 something. And they did the stat on TV the other day. It was like, oh, I thought Bobby was the hottest hitter since June 1st. Nope, it's Aaron Judge.
Aaron.
51 home runs and 125 RBIs and hitting like 36 or something like that.
It's nuts. He's on pace to get the Triple Crown. He just trails Bobby by like 12 to 14 points or whatever it is in batting average. And who knows what's going to happen, you know, in the last 25 games or so of the season. But like Soto and Judge, man, like they had McGuire and Canseco as the Bash brother. I don't know that we've seen a better duo than Soto and Judge in baseball, man. It's wild to watch them. They just mash the ball. But back to the Royals, you know, the other thing that they've done a great job of this year, they've never suffered a long losing streak. The most they've lost in a row is four games. Think about that for a second. That's part of the reason why the Royals are where they are. They never let losing streaks become long and become a week long or 2 weeks long or anything like that.
Yeah.
I just think right now with where the Royals are, everything that we knew about them, we still know about them. We didn't learn anything different. We didn't see anything new over the weekend. The bullpen has stunk before this weekend. They just got to get that thing figured out. And if Alec Marsh goes out there and pitches well today, there's no reason in my mind you can't either insert him back in the rotation or put him in the bullpen, or maybe Lorenzen goes to the bullpen, or you're going to have to start figuring out ways to create the bullpen to give your guys an opportunity to win, because Will Smith just doesn't do it. Might be a nice fellow, but he's just not getting it done out there on the mound. And for my money, that cat can't be out there in situations that matter anymore.
No, Will Smith's best role moving forward is a bench coach, because he seems like a good locker room guy.
Right.
Seems like a leader, seems like a vet that kind of doesn't care about, you know, if he's bad, he'll admit it. Like, he's the one that walked into Q's office and was like, hey, Skip, it ain't me right now.
But that, I mean, you know, that's all well and good. Yeah. They got to stop putting him out there right now.
Maybe that's the next conversation he has with Matt Quatrero. Maybe he's like, hey, man.
Maybe Matt says it to him. Hey, I hate to tell you this, but unless it's 11-3, you're probably not going to see much work going forward.
Right. And the thing I think it's key about Alec Marsh this week is one of the conversations a lot of people have is, you know, is Seth Lugo's innings getting too high? Is his arm starting to get too tired? Well, if Alec Marsh can give you a spot start, why not give Lugo a day?
Yeah.
You know, if it's a, you know, and I get it.
Skip a start.
Get through these 20 games, right? Have him, you know, maybe pitch a game where you like your, and Quatrero's really good at these matchup types of things where he can kind of put, you know, the right guy in the right situation when it comes to the lineup. Like Darren Blanco, right? He put him in against those, just tore up Cincinnati, right? And then, you know, maybe this is one of those things where Alec Marsh can be that guy where you can show that he can be a spot starter. And then when you start to get into the playoff picture, you start to show people what you're going to present. Then it's like, okay, Alec Marsh is a guy where if Brady's not feeling great, or Michael Walker doesn't have a good outing, or maybe Walker's with him as well in this, or, you know, Lugo's got 70 pitches in the fifth inning. It's like, okay, instead of putting a guy in there like a Will Smith or like somebody that you don't really trust all the time, like a Zerpa, you're like, hey, Alec, go out there and pitch three innings, get us to the eighth inning. And then if you do need to have Irsig pitch a, you know, five or a four out save or a four out, you know, hold, then you have that sort of, you know, sustainability with Alec Marsh, because he knows he can be a starter slash he can be a bullpen guy, which means he can ramp up his pitch speed if he wants to. So I'm really interested to see how Alec Marsh does in that 540 starting against Cleveland today.
Would it be, oh, it's 540 today?
Yeah, 12-10 and 540.
Oh, geez.
You won't see Carrington at all.
No, that's what I was thinking, like 540. So let me ask you this, and I ask because it's like we're all looking for ways to help, right? Mm-hmm. Would it be wrong, and we can ask Vern this as well, But would it be wrong, like when you have an off day, just stick with that five-man rotation? Like if Lugo scheduled the pitch on that Thursday and it's an off day, just skip Lugo's start. Like don't move him back to Friday and give him that time to have an off day or Singer. Or like I'm just asking out loud because I'm trying to think of ways to give Lugo the opportunity to save some innings, to you know, get some rest without having to quote unquote skip him in the rotation or anything like that. Like, would you do something like that, or am I just speaking out of my ass?
I mean, a little bit of both. I think that it depends on what the matchup is. Like if it's Garrett Cole at New York and, you know, Lugo's up after the, I'd be like, yeah, go ahead. And we need you in this one.
But
if it's
like, you would start him against Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
See, I would skip him against Garrett Cole. Cause Garrett Cole's that good. Why so waste your best versus? Yeah.
But Cole hasn't been that great this year. And I think if you can have the advantage with Lugo, who could have been an all-star starter in a game where you're at New York with a guy who gets ground ball outs, I'd rather have that guy than put a guy in there like Alec Marsh, who's a fly ball hitter.
Yeah, I'm just asking because, you know, I'm not saying it's, you know, it's the right answer or anything, but I'm just thinking like Lugo only has so much left in him. We're starting to see that. Like, we didn't want to say it out loud, right? Because we're like, oh, don't say it out loud. Maybe it won't happen.
Right.
But you're starting to see, like, the innings catch up to Seth Lugo a little bit. Mm-hmm. You like to figure out ways to get him that rest. And I don't know. You got to do things differently as you move down the stretch. We'll see what Q decides to do and how he manages this team, you know, in the month of September. Really beginning today, because today's big, man. You sweep the Indians, you got a great start on that series. You get swept, boy, people are going to be down in the dumps, aren't they?
If they sweep Cleveland, I may not be here Thursday. I might not be able to handle that because that'd give them a one-game lead in the division.
You're in first place.
Yeah.
Right.
Sole possession.
Correct.
Depending, again, on what Minnesota does, which we can dive into what their schedule is a little bit later. But again, you have to take care of the
teams. You have to take care of your own business, you know? Right. And over the weekend, they had opportunities to do that. Like in the first inning yesterday, like Bohm's running off the field after two outs and you didn't take advantage and you had some errors and whatnot and made innings a little bit longer. So you got to just figure out a way to play clean baseball because they're not quite good enough, Dusty, to play unclean baseball, right? You got a mistake here or a mistake there. Those things tend to mount on the Royals. They got to figure out a way to play clean baseball. So we'll see what happens against Cleveland today. But, I mean, we're off to a good start. So if you're out on the Royals and you were in on Friday, what changed for you over the weekend?
I can't imagine much. Minnesota plays 3 against Atlanta. They are in Minnesota, but Atlanta 70-60. They're a wild card team.
Yeah, Atlanta, though, I don't know what to think of them. Like sometimes they play good and sometimes they don't play good, right? They have not played great baseball. They've had a lot of injuries over the course of the season. That is a team that could go up to Minnesota and beat them. Or I could see the Twins sweeping, you know, the Atlanta Braves.
We're all Aaron Ladd fans this week because Mr. Atlanta Brave, we all need the Braves to do their job. Let the Braves go take 2 out of 3 for Minnesota. Let the Royals go take 3 out of 4 for Cleveland. Then you got a game ahead of Minnesota and you'd be one game out of the AL Central. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan, Deron Bland, NFL telecasts, and much more on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, we're all three damn glad to have you. I was looking at DraftKings to put a bet in today.
Oh, yeah?
Royals are -122 against the Cleveland Guardians today in Cleveland.
How about that?
Ooh.
Is that the first game or?
First game.
All right.
Yeah, Reagan's pitching. That's why the second game, the Royals are also favored. -120 on the money line, Cleveland +100. So Vegas thinks the Royals have a good chance today on the road.
Of course. Get some money on the
but
Royals.
They can't
Let's go.
Beat the good teams.
That's fine. They're still winning. Yeah. Like they're going to be just fine. They're probably going to be in the playoffs, and we're going to have a really fun October.
They may make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They may not go to the World Series. I'll take it. I'll sign up for that right now. I'll sign up for a 2-game sweep in the wild card round today for Royals, right?
I'm already where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
We're leading the show with the Kansas City Royals every day – in the month of August for the first time in 7 years.
Yeah, it's been a long, longer than that, probably. I mean, it's great where they are right now. Like, that's why I still don't understand, like, the naysayers, right? Like, oh, they're no good. Dude, they're having a great season. They're giving us everything we could have imagined and more for this year. Bobby's become a legit star. Lugo's been fantastic. Reagan's is a legit star. Mm-hmm. I mean, Salvi's kind of been rejuvenated. You know, we're seeing Michael Garcia, I think, play good. I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. You know, Massey does his thing. Like, it seems like they found their kind of core, and they've got some young players that are playing good baseball right now. They're winning games. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't do so great against Philadelphia on Saturday and Sunday, but so be it. So you move on. You don't dwell on it. You don't, like, sit there and, you know, oh, woe is me because we lost to the Phillies. You got a doubleheader against Cleveland that starts at noon. Like, we're a couple hours away from first pitch. It's time to flush that and move forward. And if you're not happy with the way the Royals are playing this year, then maybe you're just never going to be happy. I think it's been great. It's been fun. It's got you back to the ballpark. It's got you paying attention to baseball. We got a good thing going on right now.
Yeah, and I think that's just where the unfortunate but sometimes fortunate expectations kind of take over. Obviously, you want to see this team do as much winning as possible, but let's go back to the original debate of, like, hey, if they're playing competitive baseball by the time the Royals or the Chiefs start their regular season, like, mm-hmm. hello, like, that's where I want to be, and that's where you're at. Like,
yeah.
You're almost, what, you're 13 games above 500?
Yeah.
You're almost, you're in the gauntlet or the riptide of the season. It's competitive. You're the favorite against Cleveland on
you're
the road.
You're paying attention
to
who the Twins are playing in August, damn for right. God's sakes.
Damn right. So, Daron Bland is out.
Mm-hmm.
For what, six to eight weeks?
6 to 8 weeks. That's a big loss for Dallas.
Matt came up with a random question.
This was my random question.
Oh, this is your random question.
This is my random question because I saw a lot of buzz yesterday.
I should have known.
About, yeah, usually if it's like.
This isn't me.
If it's this.
Yeah, like Mac would say, who's the third best cornerback on the Bengals? Do you guys want to discuss that?
No.
I mean, yeah, I'm down if you're.
But
if you're
Bob's in. Random question. To just ignite the Kansas City fan base. If you've never met him, his name's Bob Fesco. Hell of a guy.
The reason I came up with is because there was a lot of talk yesterday about the Eagles and James Bradbury being possibly traded to Dallas because of this injury. Not that I would, sign on for James Bradbury because he holds, but mm-hmm. I got to thinking, like, would you trade Trent McDuffie straight up for Micah Parsons right now? Throw the contract situations out the window. Mm. Would you trade one of the best corners in the NFL for maybe the best pass rusher in the NFL straight up right now? Mac, I see you're over there. You're excited. Your shirt is a little wet.
Would you Justin make that? Herbert?
Yeah, Herbert didn't have a wet shirt. Trapped in the elevator all that time. No wet shirt.
Oh.
At least that's what Harbaugh said.
Hair was a little wet.
Is Harbaugh feeling his shirt when he got out of that elevator? So would you,
his pants might have been.
Would you make that trade? Would you trade Trent McDuffie straight up for Micah Parsons?
If you're not considering money or any of that
just,
stuff.
Just straight up, just football.
Absolutely. There is no question about it. If you say no, I don't know. I there's no
first
good reason
three
to me.
Texts have said no.
Why?
Nope. Absolutely not. And
that's
no.
crazy.
I mean, we already have one of the best pass rushers. You need someone in the back.
I mean, my answer is not just no, it's hell no.
See, that's interesting because I don't know my answer on that because I can see both, right? Love Trent McDuffie, one of the best corners in the NFL. It's a passing league. You need good cornerbacks in this league. But if you have Micah Parsons up front, you probably don't even need linebacker.
No, exactly.
Him, Karlaftis, and Jones getting to the quarterback and you know, destroying the line of scrimmage on every play. To me, like, okay, because, you know, back in the day, the old adage was, doesn't matter who your cornerbacks are. And I go back to the Warfield and Bartee days. Dick Vermeil would say, I don't care who's playing defensive back. If we can't get to the quarterback, it really doesn't matter who's playing defensive back. And those years, they couldn't get to the quarterback. But now, if you put Micah Parsons on that line on the other side of George Karlaftis and Chris Jones in the middle, rotate Mike Dana in a little bit, Derek Nnadi. I mean, you got some depth there. Omenihu maybe coming back. Like,
it doesn't matter.
Like, I think it would be a hard trade to say no to Trent McDuffie straight up. Again, no contract. We're not worried about that kind of stuff.
No,
that's
not our
area.
No.
But, like, just player for player, is it better to have a superstar pass rusher or a superstar cornerback in this league right now. And man, I think if you can get to the cornerback, you can spend less time worrying about, or the quarterback worrying about the less time who's playing defensive back. I could be open to either way. Like if you pledge your case for yes, I'm listening. If you plead your case for no, I'm listening as well. And that's why I think it's such a good topic, because Dusty is vehemently against it. You're vehemently for it. And I'm kind of in the middle going, if you make the trade, I'd be fine with it. If you don't, I'd be fine with it too.
Is it just for this year is a semantic question I have to ask? Because I think your D-line gets enough pressure. And here's the deal. I just think that the way that the league is now and the wide receivers that we see in the AFC, I'd rather have, and I think that we saw this last year, I think the Chiefs were very successful because their corners were able to lock the receivers down, which then gives your defensive line and edge rushers more time to get to the quarterback. Whereas if you don't have that lockdown corner and you have the pass rusher, offenses can adjust and change their way that they can do it to where they can get that receiver open quicker. And if we know anything in the league, the new position that seems to be getting the most money is, of course, wide receiver, because there's so many good ones. So if you have a guy like Trent McDuffie who can lock somebody down out there and make their quarterback have to go to their second, third read, that gives you time for a guy. And I'm not saying he's not that good. I'm saying that gives you a guy like George Karlaftis, who is not Micah Parsons, that much more time to get the quarterback, which then you don't need that superstar edge rusher if you have that cornerback that's able to lock down that wide receiver and take away that option and make the quarterback think more and use more time, where it doesn't matter if it's Micah Parsons, George Karlaftis, or whoever trying to get the quarterback. Whereas if you have Trent McDuffie locking them down, think about how many times we had the conversation last year. Justin Jefferson, I know he got hurt in the second half, but Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill twice did not have good games because they were locked down by the corners, and then the quarterback had to go to second and third reads, and it was guys like Jordan Addison that were hurting you in Minnesota. It was guys like Jalen Waddle who were getting you in Miami. It wasn't the main guys, and you were winning those games because of your secondary presence on defense.
Yeah, you have an opportunity to win a lot of games by shutting down the opposition's wide receiver, and you're right. I mean, all those things that we just mentioned there with Justin Jefferson being shut down, Tyreek Hill being shut down for two games, like a lot of that has to do with the way Sneed played back there. But imagine if you're getting that pressure on the quarterback, how much easier the job is for those defensive backs. Because I kind of feel like defensive backs are probably going to be the next dudes up to get paid, right? Like that's kind of the next position that
not
I think
like
we're going to be.
Micah, though. Not like that position.
No. But I mean, like the next that's going to say, okay, you know, like quarterbacks have gotten paid, left tackles have gotten paid, defensive ends have gotten paid, wide receivers have gotten paid. Who's next? Okay, now it's time for defensive backs to get paid and to get their paycheck. And Brett Veach has always been good at kind of looking at that from a distance and understanding where the market's trending. And so if they end up, you know, not signing Trent McDuffie, we can tell you right then and there, we know why, because the quarterback market got to be exploded and whatnot. Not that they won't, but I mean, I'm a pass rush guy, and I think I'd be like 51-49 to saying yes, make that trade, but I wouldn't be upset either way if they did it, because I love getting pressure. There's nothing better than a big sack.
Nothing better than getting sacks.
I do have some breaking news from Jordan Schultz of the NFL world. Bob, you can pat yourself on the back here. Okay. Breaking, the Kansas City Chiefs are expected to sign former Pro Bowl wide receiver and Chiefs wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. Multiple sources have reported Juju reunites with Kansas City, who looks to add another weapon for Patrick Mahomes, again from Jordan Schultz and maybe some others. Kansas City Chiefs are expected to sign Pro Bowl wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. In fact, I just got a text from our old friend Josh Klingler, and he just says, Chiefs are sitting to sign Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm going to go back to sleep. So we will react to that on the other side. Back Maury, Dusty Likas, Bob Fesco. Breaking news. First time here on 96.5 The Fan. 913-586-7965. Breaking news. 96.5 The Fan. Why is it your home for sports radio in Kansas City?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers. that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because Juju Smith-Schuster announced just now, more than likely, we'll be joining the Kansas City Chiefs and reuniting with Patrick Mahomes. More on that as you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.